the whole chapter eventually tonight. And this is Paul's letter, his first letter to Corinth and to the Corinthians. And just a little bit of background about Corinth. It was a, and I'm sure you've heard this before and we've talked about it, but Corinth was a very sinful city. Its background, its foundations were based, steeped in idolatry. And I'll just, without going into the details, which wouldn't be necessary, it was very difficult to be anything but immoral in a city like that. They were a trading area. They had a great deal of commerce, and they had goods coming and going. And so the people lived good lives, better than many other places. And that allowed them to really just do what they wanted to do. And they were very ungodly and idolatrous people. And so you can tell why there's 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because 1st Corinthians wasn't enough. They needed 2nd Corinthians. And in 2nd Corinthians, Paul writes to them, and he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And so the second letter, he had to let them understand, again, it's spiritual, not natural. Right. And so I want to read second chapter, verse 1 through 5. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. So what the apostle is saying to them is, I wasn't trying to impress you, because he could. He could use the biggest Greek words, and he could use the Hebrew language if they needed him to. He could speak on the Old Testament and quote very much of the Pentateuch. And as being a Pharisee, he had to memorize the first five books. And so he knew the law, and he knew the prophets. He quoted them often. And so the Apostle Paul could impress them. But he said, here's the thing, I didn't come to you with big words, trying to impress you with anything. That wasn't my hope. I was with you openly in weakness. I wanted you to understand that it's not about glorifying my vocabulary and my education. I just wanted you to know who I was preaching about. Him, it's Jesus that I tried to get you to understand. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but your faith needs to be in the power of God. Amen. And so that's why today, this Bible study, I've called it spiritual things. And I'll deal with more with this, because I want to teach the youth this. This is just a chapter I'm teaching. There's nothing revelatory about it that we haven't talked about already. But I believe this happens to people in church-wide. And that is that we get used to saying and doing the same things. And sometimes we forget that this is a spiritual walk. It very much spiritual. And though we walk in the flesh, amen, we're not warring in the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are spiritual. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so it's not in this argument that Paul gives them. It's not about big words or theological arguments. He was speaking in a time when rhetoric and philosophy was very prominent. They loved to hear theories. They loved to hear ideas. Anybody have a new idea? We want to hear about it. You know, when people get wealthy and when they become affluent, they want to be more affluent. They want to have more knowledge and rise to the level of those that they hear about or those surrounding them. And so Paul is being sure to let them know that he's not competing with society or superstar preachers. He said, I determined not to know anything among you. Right. You know, if he were to draw attention to himself, it would diminish God's word and it would diminish God's power. He says, I wasn't trying to exalt me. I was trying to exalt him. And it, to me, when I see that's what Paul is trying to do, it causes me to be reminded that this is truly about the presence of God. This is a spiritual thing that we're involved in. That's amazing today that what we have a hold of is an unlimited resource. Every day it's unlimited. Every day we walk with the Lord, there is no limits to what we can do. There's no limits to what we can get a hold of. Spiritual things is really what we're about. We see carnal, and we may walk in a carnal world and we fight carnal battles, but the weapons of our warfare are not, they're not carnal, they're not earthly, but they are mighty. We have power in our tongue. We have power in our faith. We can name it and God will get on board with us. We can go into battle knowing our God is going to fight for us and help us win these battles. And the reason that, and I say this a lot, you know, when I'm teaching something, I want you to know what brought me to this point. And it's simply this. I can get, and if I can, anyone can too. If the pastor can get into a rut, anyone can get in a rut. I'm good at ruts. They're safe. You know where you're going. But I can get in this rut sometimes to where I already know the end, and so I don't worry about it. It's just ABC 1, 2, 3. You know, one day is like the other day, and the next day is going to be like yesterday, and we just go along. But then I wake up and realize, wait a minute, have I made a mark? Have I made a difference? Did I leave something else on the tree? Was there some low-hanging fruit? Or was there something that I could have stayed in the prayer room a little longer and talked to God about and He would have done it? Because if we're passive, we're going to end up just kind of sailing along, you know, row, row, row your boat, as that little song says. But Paul was sure to let them know. He said, I'm not trying to compete with society or these superstars. Preachers, I determined not to know anything among you. He said, I wasn't trying to elevate me. I wanted to elevate Him. He said, I was with you in weakness. Remember, He said, when I was there with you, He was there a while. He said, I was there in weakness. I wasn't trying to impress you. I just wanted you to meet Jesus. I wanted you to understand His power. He was showing that He was only trying to tell them about that power of salvation. And once He gave that to them, He wanted them to go with that because they could build that relationship with the Lord. And see, they got involved. These were earthly people. These were people that prided themselves on their affluence. And so they compared themselves among each other. And they had classes of society, and they had them sitting in certain places. And because you have a certain class, then you could sit here or be this or, you know. And they bragged about who saved them or who preached to them when they were baptized. They bragged, and, you know, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. They really were flesh-driven people. And Paul was so glad to build the church there, but he realized their weakness was where they came out of. And a person's weakness is usually where they came from, because we have a tendency to fall back. If it affected us once, if it enticed us once, it can entice us again. But his speech and his preaching was not with the big words, though he was very educated, but his preaching was in demonstration and power. Right. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 1, Paul, he spoke of those that were bragging. He said, you know, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Jesus Christ. But that's earthly. He was telling them, who baptized you should not be important. It's the name that you took in baptism. That's what's important. It's not the one that dipped you in water. And any, you know, we should not care about who baptized us as long as they said the name of Jesus over us. And, you know, I do feel proud to say my pastor baptized me. And, you know, it was what he did, and I'm glad he did. But had it not been my pastor, it might have shifted my focus more on the name than his name. But I know the name was spoken over me, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I was baptized. But Paul was saying, it's not an argument about who did what. It's about Jesus. We need to get out of the earthly and understand the spiritual. In verse 6, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have crucified They would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known what they were doing, what they were unleashing when they crucified him. The rulers of this age, the demons of the of darkness, had they known what they were about to let loose when he died, they would not have done it. They would have had an armor guard around him to protect him from dying, had they known. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost, for the Spirit that searches all things. It searches the deep things. It takes that message you heard, that chapter you read, the scriptures you memorized, and it goes down and brings them back up. That's why we've got to give the Holy Spirit something to bring up. Amen. I've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in the Word so the Holy Ghost will have something to bring up for you to use in your as your weaponry. Amen. To keep you going forward. We need to fill ourselves with these good things. The hidden wisdom in a mystery. The mystery was during the life of Jesus. When the rulers of the age, the mystery was they crucified the Lord of glory and they didn't know what they were doing. They knew they were driven to kill him. They knew there was something in them, and they had an inside man. Judas, he had a ministry. It was to get Jesus to the hands of the crucifiers. What an awful job for a man to have. But so that you would know that he was a bad character, he kept the money box and stole money they put in it. So, you know, he was a bad cat. And even, you know, hung himself in the rope, said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, and the rope broke. You know, we know that story. But the mystery was during his life that they crucified him unknowingly. But God has revealed them to us. God has revealed these mysteries to us through his Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost, I'm so thankful for it. And at 8 years old, when I received the Holy Ghost, I just felt good all over. I felt clean. I felt different. I felt alive. But that feeling wasn't every single day. After a while, it becomes the norm. And then if you get cold, you know, as children will and teenagers will, I would pray back into that right place with God, and I'd feel that renewing again. And then I realized one day, I thought, you know, I'm realizing that I'm getting older and the devil is at work here. I realize there's another force, and I realize I need to stop playing with the boundaries. I need to stop swerving out into traffic, you know, and driving on the wrong side. You know, things kids do, and spiritually I'm talking about. I realized that about 14, something came over me one Sunday evening before church. And in my heart, I just said, this is it. Lord, this is it. I can't do this. I wasn't a ranked sinner, but I knew in my heart I wasn't quite right. And that's all the enemy needs, is us to be just not right. That's all he needs for a young person. And I tell you, I have a lot of sympathy and compassion for our youth. They are in a battlefield. Amen. They're in a battlefield. And if they come back and pray through, and then they come and pray through, and they come and pray through, I'm going to be here every time they come and pray through. Because my prayer is one of these days it's going to stick. Right. One of these days it's going to be the time and they're going to get settled. And they're going to, you know what, all it takes, they're going to start being an investor. Once you become an investor, once you say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I need this to happen and this to happen. And bam, God does it. And they go, wow, nothing in life works like this, but God does. And that's all it takes. And I'm always waiting on them to just see him, give them that job and give them that relationship and bless them with these needs they have and little valleys they go through. Amen. I thought I was going through trials, you know, and lived at home. You can't have a trial when you're living at home and your mom's fixing your lunch and all of that. I thought I would. You know, they were junior trials. They were minor league trials. You know, they lasted about 8 or 9 minutes and sometimes up to a whole day. There's nothing to that. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit by study, by teaching, by preaching, by prayer. We come to understand this gospel of salvation, the spiritual effect it has on our lives. It's a spiritual life we've got here. It's spiritual. This is amazing when we continue to you know, my grandma had a well on the back porch, and I loved the well because it was a deep hole. It was scary, but man, the water would come up, and it was awesome water. But I didn't know if it went down a mile, 2 miles. I know that bucket went down there. But when she would bring that bucket up, it would just be sloshing full of some of the best water ever. Y'all know of a well like that? I mean, just the best water. I can still remember how clean it tasted. And I'd get that dipper and put in there that everybody used the same dipper. It was okay, you know. You know, don't dare pick that candy up, you know, when you're back at home. But at grandma's, everybody's out of the same dipper. And it was that well, that mysterious well was so satisfying. I didn't know who dug it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know that the water ran down the roof into a gutter, into a little pipe, and that pipe went into the well, and it caught all the water and all the gravel and all the dirt, but it all settled down there. But when you get that, when that bucket goes down, it gets that clean water because all the sediment has settled. And it's an awesome thing to see what comes up. It was mysterious to me. But I tell you, it wasn't mysterious to my granddad. To dig the well, you've been there. No mystery at all. He probably remembers two or three rocks that came out of there and all the people that helped him in the buckets of dirt and mud, and then it was wet and it was slimy, and finally they thought they had enough, and you know, and it had to be so deep. It's not a mystery to the ones that did the work. But to me, all I was doing was drinking from it, and I thought, oh, this has got to be the most amazing thing. You know, we need one of these in our yard. And, you know, we didn't. We had running water, and it had a little chlorine taste to it, I'm sure. The mystery of this wonderful gospel, it unfolds gradually as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is like a well springing up. Amen. It truly is like a well springing up into everlasting life. If it fails to spring up, it doesn't mean gospel. It doesn't mean the gospel doesn't work. It means I haven't lowered the bucket into the well in a while. It means I haven't gotten alone with God and said, Lord, I just got a need, and I'm just going to let this down there into your presence, and I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you for a while. Oh, if life gets too easy, we need to start getting that bucket and dropping it down and praying for other people. If our life's good, let's start calling on God to bless other lives and take that bucket and set it down. This is a spiritual walk. I'm talking about spiritual things. Amen. We're dealing in a spiritual economy. And God is unlimited in his resources. If you're dealing with something tonight, if you've got a problem in your life, and you're wondering which way to go, I'm telling you something. You just need to go back to the well and say, Lord, I need help right now. You're an amazing and mighty God, and your name is powerful, and you are mighty, and you love me, and I'm just going to call out on your name. And if you didn't get your answer, you just go back to that well again and say, Lord, I'm not going to give up, but I'm praying because I know your timing's not my timing. Your ways are not my ways. But Lord, one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to answer my prayer, or my continual asking is going to draw me closer and closer to you until I see things the way they need to be seen. And then I may change my mind and say, now I realize I don't need God to change that. He's changed me in the process of the relationship brought forth by my continual asking. Either way, God's going to be glorified because this is a spiritual thing that we're dealing with here today. I love it. I love the part where it goes outside the realm of normal and gets into the supernatural. I was in my bedroom once and I heard the car out there start, and that usually was like, hey, you know, I should have been asked to go. And I looked, and it's my brother. He don't have a driver's license, and he puts it in reverse and backs up. Stops, puts it in drive, and goes forward, puts it in reverse, and backs up, and just did that over and over. Mom, I said, what's Mike doing out there? She goes, oh, he asked if he could go out there and just move the car a little bit. You do that when you don't have a license and you can't get out in the road. You got to do something. You got to do something. And he was just going back and forth, back and forth. But it wasn't long before he got his own car. It wasn't that car. It was, you know, the clunker you have to drive first. And oh, man, and then he got some nice cars, and could was on the road. And I'll tell you what, I never saw him take that 67 GTO and pull it up in the driveway and go back and forth and just forward and then backwards. No, that one, the wheels would squeal and it would take off and it made a wonderful sound when it happened. He now owns a 67 GTO just exactly like it, red interior. It's beautiful, pristine condition. He's proud of that car. But I remember when it wasn't a GTO. It was the, I don't know what it was, a Pontiac of some sort, but it was just back and forth, back and forth. Oh, he couldn't wait till it was time. We're chomping at the bit sometimes, but all we need is just a little more understanding, a little more growth, a little more pushing forward in the spirit, because this is a spiritual business that we're in, and God deals in the heart. He deals in spiritual matters, and I'm so thankful that he does. I just want to make a point here. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men. That's not talking about heaven. That it fits. We don't understand how heaven's going to all look like, but that's talking about right here on earth. Right here on earth. The things that God has prepared. Not that he's going to prepare. He said, I go to prepare. That was in the making, but this is, I've already got it prepared for you. It's never come into your heart or your mind. You've never grasped hold of the fullness of what God already has prepared for you. It's waiting for you. Victorious things. Moving forward in the Spirit. Growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has these levels prepared. But it takes this one thing. What I hear in here. What gets me energized in here. I got to get in my car and not lose one ounce. Not one ounce of the energy that I feel or the drive that's within me. And I need to take it home and say, all right, Lord, let's get busy. I want to get into the car and I want to shift it and I want to go somewhere. I want to go somewhere in the Holy Ghost. I want you to take me up to higher places and take me to the depths and let me see where you work, God, and let me understand the deep things of God. Show me, Lord, what your plans are for my life. I know you've done this, and this is a more of a cheerleading Bible study because we've been to those spiritual depths. I trust you have. But here's the thing. We need to be reminded often. I need to be reminded. You know, when a man's teaching or preaching, he's always teaching himself first. Because I had to get excited about this before I could even think of coming here and telling you about it. But I realized this. I realized something. God, I need to continue to access the supernatural aspect of this relationship. I don't want to settle for just this humdrum back and forth on the driveway. But I got to get out on the freeway, Lord. I want to discover some things. I want to pull some strongholds down in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be content with just this world, just this same thing day in and day out. And I don't think God wants us to just sit back and be content. Not when there's souls that need to be saved. Amen. There's people that need to be baptized in this baptistry. There's people that need to be baptized in their pools because we're teaching them a Bible study in their home. And they say, well, let's just do it right now. There are those waiting. There are those small group members that are saying, you know, I love your group, but will you let me come to your church and see what this is all about? I'm talking about a church right now that is about to explode with revival because God is going to honor what we've been doing for the last year. I know you're feeling what I'm feeling, amen, because I feel this right now, this moving of God's Spirit and His will. I know God is going to do some things, and He has been, but here's the thing, I don't want to be seduced. I refuse to be seduced by the great results we've had in the last year. We've had great crowds, we've had new members come, we've had people receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized. I don't want that to cause me to say, oh, soul, take thine ease. No, because there's still lost people out there that need to be saved. No, not soul, take thine ease, but oh, get a hold of God. Go to another depth, amen. Verse 9 is talking about things that revealed to us through His Spirit. Amen. Eye hasn't seen nor ear heard. In quoting Isaiah 64:4, it's about God's relationship with man being something never before experienced. Isaiah spoke it, but he didn't get to enjoy it, but he spoke it through prophecy. And now here it is. We have this spiritual life with the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the hidden wisdom of this mystery of your great power. And now verse 11 through 16, my last grouping of scriptures. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? The spirit of a man, you know, he knows the man. That's your spirit. Happy birthday, Brother Brown, on Monday. Was it Monday? Yes. It was this past Monday. It's going to be this next Monday. In case I forget, happy birthday. I saw you and I thought, there's something coming up, and we all have to get a year older. And he's been doing it longer than most of us and doing a real good job of it.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. And so going to verse 11, he says, For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now that right there is where it connects.
Right.
You know you partially. You know, there's things you do and you go, whoa, I did that. I said that. But you pretty much know you because that's your spirit that dwelleth in you. But even no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's why the disciples were always looking at him with their head cocked like, huh? What? Until they received the Holy Ghost. And then they remembered the things that he taught them. It all come rushing back to them. But before that, they're just not quite sure. Are you sure, Lord? You don't care that we're about to all die on this boat? Really? You know, you're going to sleep during a storm. But later they understood. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The reason we've got the Holy Ghost is so that we might know about all the free things that God has given us through His Spirit. And so if I'm not trading in the marketplace of God's Holy Spirit, if His economy is not affecting me every day, I'm missing out on something. But very, very much worse than that, where God needs to be filling up the void, I'm going to be putting something in that space anyway. Does anybody here have shelves in your garage? Does anybody have a shelf in your garage with space on it? If it's a shelf, you're going to find something to put there. It's just the way it is. An empty shelf is just looking at you saying, well, are you crazy? Bring it on. And so you've got something in that garage on that empty shelf. We've got the capacity, but He's waiting to say, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do for you? See, this would work good with new converts too, because they need to know. We need to know, but they need to know. You just got to ask and keep on asking. The relationship is built on that right there. These things we also speak, not words in which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
A natural person can read it and just like, I don't get it. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We understand things through that Holy Spirit that we get. It allows us to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
We read the Word and it just comes alive. We understand it. We grasp it. In verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?
Right.
But we have the mind of Christ.
Yes,
we have the mind of Christ. We have. If we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, we have the mind of Christ. We can think like Him, walk like Him, work like Him. Amen. We can act like our Savior, because that happens because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. The Spirit who is from God dwells in us to allow us to think, speak, talk, and act like Him. Now we have received it, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Spiritual depravity or poverty is one of the main causes of people leaving the church. Now, we could look at the outer things and say, well, no, actually, he went back to the bar and he went back to drinking, and, or she went back to her old friends, or they, you know, went back and joined this group or that. And those are things that are a fact. But those are just things that occurred because of.
Right.
But if you go to the core problem is, the core issue is, somebody didn't ask. They had some vacancies, they had some needs. And instead of filling the need by a relationship with God that He's so happy to help us with, that gnawing hunger for something exciting or something more, they went back to the old life and they filled it with that. And as soon as they did, condemnation sets in. We have to be aware that this happens to everyone that comes to the Lord, whether they've been filled or just baptized. Immediately, they're going to go back into their world and condemnation is going to set in. They're not going to come in here with a sign that says, condemned, I feel condemned. They're not going to come and tell you, I feel so condemned, I feel terrible. They're going to think, if I say that, all these happy people, they're not going to understand me, or they're going to think I'm worse than them, because look at them. They don't know we all went through that. They don't know that we too come in on some days and we're having to put on a fake smile because the other part of us is not really smiling. We all go through that. I mean, really, we on the outside, we don't feel great every day. I mean, I wake up some mornings going, do I even have the Holy Ghost? Does my watch have a little thing on there that tells me, you know, spirit up or down? I don't know. We all are flesh. And we have the capacity, especially when we are emotionally drained, to feel like we're just lost. Now, in case y'all didn't know that, it happens to everybody. And if it hasn't happened to you, get in your car, tighten your seatbelt, you know, be careful. But that happens to people because we don't all have great days. Now, see, this is something I need to say on Sundays. I do, because I need to cause people to understand everybody at one time or another feels like they're just the worst sinner in the world. That's just part of being human. We can't get rid of the flesh. If we do, we're no longer here. So we got to keep the flesh, because that's the glory of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
You realize the scripture doesn't say Christ in you, definite glory every single day. Oh, yeah, there's always those people like, God is so great. Wonderful God. He's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. My mother combed hair, and one of the ladies that she'd comb hair with, every time that lady would leave, she'd say, she aggravates me to no end. Nobody can be that happy all the time. And she would just be happy, 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 happy. If you're serving the Lord, you've got to be happy, because people that serve the Lord are never sad. Da, 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 da. My mother just, she was just, bite her tongue and let her go on and on and on, being happy, happy, happy. While the rest of us know that you're going to have some bad days every now and then.
Amen.
That's just what happens. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, that's the inside man. God is dwelling on the inside. His Spirit knows the things of God, and He's doing some exchanging. He's dealing with me. How does He deal with me? When I subject myself to His will, when I get into a time of prayer and meditation, when I feed myself with His Word, that I feed that spiritual part of me, and then the economy of God can take over, and He starts repairing some things and settling my nerves and my feelings and the deep things of God. He starts doing things. The values, the workings, the mercy, the kindness, the gentleness, goodness, so on. These virtues and blessings are realized by our possessing God's Spirit within us. To be spiritual is to be in tune with that voice and the will of God abiding in our soul.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Emotion is not spiritual. It's a felt reaction. Star-Spangled Banner, emotion. Feel emotional, well, you might. But it's patriotism. Some of the songs we feel and jump and shout to, it's emotion, but it's a good emotion. I wouldn't take anything for it. The Bible doesn't say don't be emotional. It doesn't. But in the process of our worship, we prepare ourselves for the Word, and the Word feeds us. That's meat. That's solid food. We read it, we hear it, and then that equips us. And this is really the crux of it. To go out there and stay full of what we got in here.
Amen.
And don't put on a different uniform, but go out there and be this person, this child of God out there, and conquer the things that have been conquering us. Don't stop short and say, well, I can't defeat that. but I'm going to turn and take the easier road. No, you need to get the power to defeat the things that's been pulling you down, the doubt, depression, whatever it might be. We all deal with these things. That's just human nature. But the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to overcome. To overcome. Sometimes one of the best things a person can do is just talk to a brother or sister and say, hey, can I ask you something? You know what? If we're honest, we'll say, I've gone through that. Here's what happened. Here's how I got through it. His Spirit is in me. It's in you. And it keeps me changed, and it keeps you changed into that image. We have to remain changed. Amen. Let's stand. I got 2 points. It's always what we do between Sundays. It's what we do between Sundays that determines our spiritual growth. It's Sunday to Sunday. If you miss a Sunday, it's Sunday to the next Sunday. That which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Once filled with the Holy Ghost, we have within us the abiding presence and operation of God's Spirit that's within us right now. I thank God for it every day. We have the equipment we need to live and walk upright before God. If you fall, get up. Ask God to forgive you. And mark it down and say, I need to know what happened that time so I can avoid it the next time. Because really, what matters, the matter is who's standing at the end. We got to live day by day now. I'm not saying you just throw it all away till the end time, because we don't know when the end is of our life or this world. But we've got to learn to get back up again. We've got to know that somebody's been through what we're going through at all times. Everybody's been through the same things. If you're beating yourself up, you need to reprimand yourself and say, just quit that stuff. I'm worth more than that. Nobody's worth beating yourself up over. God is good to us. Amen. He's a helper in a time of need. And I thank Him for it. Can we raise our hands and ask Him right now to put this word in our minds and in our spirits in Jesus' name. Father, we ask You, Lord, right now. God, let Your word abide in us, God. Lord, let Your Spirit draw us into that place with You, into that secret place of the Most High. Draw us there, Lord, we ask. In the name above every name, Father, we give You praise, honor, and glory.